Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We got a few issues going on here. First of all, David Haw, I got to tell you, that felt like a direct hit across the bow to us.
Because we are the cool show, right? Yeah, we're the cool show.
You are the hippest cat I know.
We are. We're pretty hip. We're young. We're hip. We're chic. Said I'm
tragically hip. I feel like that was self-deprecating.
You think so?
Yes.
You think I'm being a little narcissistic?
That's what a narcissist does. If you're dealing with a narcissist, get out your fire extinguisher because you're going to get gaslit.
I want to admit, am I in a safe space? Alex, you're new here. Am I in a safe space?
No.
Oof, that's too bad. I'd like to think of us as the cool show. I do.
I just don't think we are.
We're all going to be like three little Fonzies here. And what's Fonzie like? Come on, Yolanda, what's Fonzie like?
It's cool.
What?
Cool.
Correctamundo. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be cool.
Let me ask you a question. Lately, we've been very aggressive and vocal in branding ourselves the Hockey Show.
Yeah, for poops and giggles.
I know, but I think we could offer them a swap. Could
we have a trade to announce.
Could we offer the Morning Show an opportunity for them to be the Hockey Show if we could instead be the Cool Show? Is that something that they might be interested in?
I would still say that the Cool Show goes on here from 10 until 2.
Oh, man!
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me.
Robbie's very cool. Ray is super cool.
Mm.
Layla's cool as hell,
man,
and so is Marshall.
Maybe you ought to go back to that slot. You know, maybe that's what you
want. Wow. Well, let me go look at the contract to see if I can. Oh, I can. How about that?
I was just joking.
One of the most common misconceptions viewers seem to have about me is that I'm a guy who never smiles and doesn't know how to have fun. And that really bugs me because it couldn't be further from the truth. In reality, I'm actually very fun, relaxed, and easygoing. Now, obviously, I could just be saying that to you. So tonight, I'm going to prove it.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
I'll never outrun those allegations. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Full boat for you today. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. Alex is in a good mood. Tanny with the open. It's killer as per usual. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. I'm going to stay the whole show. What do you guys think about that? Nice touch? Even the last two segments. Thank you for the understanding.
Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah.
Your journey worked? Like, your map out, did it work the way you thought it would?
It did. It worked perfectly.
Yes.
I got over to camp to pick up the boy before 6 o'clock, and all was well. But here we are now on what has to be a Friday. It must be a Friday. It's been feeling like a Friday since yesterday.
Look,
frankly.
Daniel Craig's going to get played at the end of the show regardless, so
nice.
I don't care what day it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, so satisfying.
The weekend.
It's such a good drop. My God, I look forward to it.
I look forward to it. I also thought it was great on him because he really sold it.
Oh, but that's why it works.
He really, really sold it.
You know what it reminds me of? In Lost in Translation, when Bill Murray is scuffling his way through the Scotch ad and doesn't care. And then at the end, when he's like, for relaxing times, make it Santori times. And he actually sells it. It's really good, isn't it? He leans into it and it's really, really good.
So shout out to him and Daniel Craig.
I think so, too. And shout out to Quentin Berry, who's having a rough day after a rough night. Probably going to have to answer some questions to some media who might walk over there. I don't know how much answering he did last night, but that was an ugly moment. And as a third base coach,
so I said, you're having a really bad day.
Oh, man. There's no way that Nico said that to him. There's no,
no
way.
Not
might,
at all.
Might have just worn the shirt, just walked over there, stood there.
Did we get Nico a shirt?
I
think only the four of us got shirts.
Yeah, I don't think Nico would wear it. Nico was a little sheepish.
Yeah, I completely, when he voiced it to us,
yeah,
I understood where he was coming from. Like, he was embarrassed by that.
Yeah, you can't help your team after you've been thrown out.
But also, he should not have been thrown out for saying that.
third base coaches, we love to hate on them.
We do. Waving Wendell Kim.
That's right. Going back all the way to that. And then, you know, and sometimes they can have really bad moments. Quinton Berry's had a couple, and I thought that was a brutal mistake last night that the Cubs were able to survive. But Pete Crow Armstrong going into third base, not realizing he needed to slide, because in my opinion, Quinton Berry was way, way out of position.
He was. I've seen a couple different angles of it. And my first thought, because I was like, I don't know, like that's bad coaching. And then I was like, well, how much awareness does the player have? But usually my feelings are the player is supposed to pick up the coach in that situation. The coach is supposed to be guiding him. And I kept thinking to myself as the play went on, I was like, Pete's got to know he's not scoring on that play, right?
He's not thinking about scoring. He's thinking about going in, standing up, because nobody's telling him to slide, A. And B, he's thinking about going in, standing up, because the throw's going to go home. And if the throw gets away, he wants to take off.
Be able to score.
That's what he's thinking. So he's just trying to be aggressive. He knows he needs to stop, but he's just trying to get there and round the base.
I just feel like a lot of base runners have been pretty sloppy about getting to bases and staying there. But I get what you're saying. He was caught in between. Who's supposed to help him not be in between?
Oh, Pete was caught in between. Yeah, Pete was definitely caught in between, and Quinton Berry wasn't there. And even Pete's job is just to run. Quinton Berry is way down the third baseline telling Seiya Suzuki to slide.
When that's the guy in the on-deck circle's job.
Of course he's going to slide. It's probably going to be a play at the plate. There's no reason for him to be down there. You've done your job in helping him get there. And maybe they've been wanting him a little further down just to give a touch of guidance. But once you realize that, A, it's probably not going to be a play because he was going to beat it, which he did. And B, you got to go and take care of that other fielder and let him know in case Cleveland, a good defensive smart team, makes the decision to try and get the out at third, which they did. And so they make the decision, and then it's way too late for Berry to get back up there. And Pete was pissed.
And I guess that if you are going to get that type of depth, if you're Berry, that depth should benefit the trail runner. Because if you're away from the bag and you're able to see more of the play, it's probably easier for you to put up the stop sign there instead of being caught in between. And this is now, what, twice that this has happened with Pete?
Oh, yeah. And that was a different play a couple weeks ago with different styles. And there's been other stuff. There's been sends and non-sends on contact plays.
It's all nonsense.
And infield grounders. And look, Quinton Berry, terrific base runner as a player. Base running coach and outfield coach in Milwaukee, and first base coach a little bit at times. He's never done third base coach before. This is him on hit and run from about 2 months ago.
Just attention to detail and just taking everything in and being serious about what you're doing on the baseball field.
It's your first year ever as a third base coach?
Yeah, I did a little bit of like instructs and doing all that. It's been an adjustment for me, but I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
That's awesome. So with that comes a little bit more scouting of the outfield arms, or were you doing it already anyway?
No, that's the easy part.
So he's just doing this job for the first time. It happens. He's really good as a base running instructor. Their base running's been great. But in this spot last night, that was rough, and I thought it was going to come back to bite him. But the bullpen survived.
It might have. And I'm probably leaning more towards you now.
Because he already took care of the lead runner.
Yeah.
He already took care of
the lead runner. Is already by you.
Yeah, the lead runner is by you, and he's going to get there and slide, and somebody can, you know, the on-deck guy can tell him to get down and whatever. And the plays in front of Seiya at that point, you got to take care of the guy whose back is to the outfield. That's your job.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So it's not like I'm not going to scream for Quinton Berry to get fired.
Yes, you are.
Because he's a good base running coach.
And a good guess for hit and run.
And his personality is awesome. So, no, I'm not screaming for that. And his personality matters as part of Council's personality mix. It's part of the Magnificent Seven vibe that he's got going on over there.
Yeah, and it is. We have to think about this from the perspective of a player. Like, first-year coach, where they're doing something different. There's bound to be a learning curve that has to take place.
Yeah, you got to coach up the coaches, right?
That's the job of the head person.
You bet.
Coach the coaches when they need it. And maybe he and Craig's had a chat last night after everyone left the clubhouse. You're like, hey, you know, this is what we're trying to do in this situation.
Let's break down this play.
I mean, I get that you're excited for our guys as we're scoring runs. I can't have you that far down the baseline.
Yeah.
When you have another runner who's coming your way.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a conversation like that has taken place, and we'll see if Craig gets asked about it in pregame today. But they got the win and have taken two, now with a chance to take three from Cleveland.
Yeah, and you ended up not having to deal with the bad man. You left the bad man on deck last night, which is what you needed to make sure you were doing.
Did you see what the gambling allegations are against the Cleveland pitcher, Luis Ortiz?
No.
Who's not going to pitch tonight because he's on paid leave?
Yeah, he's on the Alex Kuhn plan.
The disgraced former pitcher. And he's also not hosting categories today. He wanted to. We're not going to let him. So this in the Jeff Passan piece, there was an alert. It got flagged by this betting integrity firm based on two first pitches of an inning by Luis Ortiz. June 15th against the Mariners, June 27th against the Cardinals. This is all it might have been. In both the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners and the top of the third against the Cardinals, Ortiz threw a first pitch slider that was well outside the zone. And the bet is a ball or a hit batsman versus a strike. You can bet on the first pitch of the inning.
So this is like the Angel Reese bet? Oh, you haven't heard about this?
No.
This is a whole thing in the betting world that you bet that she's going to miss her first shot.
Ah, so you could still have a real good game and miss your first shot if you're Angel Reese. So yeah, that's why people are chatting.
And people have made a lot of money on that bet.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Speaks, you used to be the first shot king around here. I'm surprised you missed that. You know, first basket king, the Don.
It's right. I was the big-time first basket
guy. You were always
guy.
Looking for those centers to get that first basket to get them going.
It's a narrative bet.
Vooch.
It's a narrative bet. That's right. Or like the number three guy, Michael Porter Jr. in Denver. Let's let him get one.
Yeah,
let
him get going because we know that Jokic will be fine.
That's what I'm saying.
We give MPJ an opportunity to make some. But no, like this is a whole, like there's reels of guys that have been betting on this and making money. Angel's even spoken about it. Like she's tweeted about it, the whole thing.
So these wagers are called micro bets, and you can bet on the result of first pitches in an inning or an at bat. And the alert on Luis Ortiz's first pitches was flagged in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey. So there's this firm that watches that. And they're like, that's a lot of money on a first pitch that just went outside. So, Matt, because you were talking about the Malik Beasley stuff like in the NBA, and we've seen a couple of them in the NBA, and it's only natural that these kind of things would start to happen. And here it is in baseball.
A friend of mine who is a renowned base stealer at the amateur level was at the game last night and texted and said, once the ball ricocheted there at Wrigley, you can turn it on since the bounce is crazy off the Ivy wall. PCA was thinking four, and Barry should have been more aggressive to give him a heads up that the ball was already almost in. That's how I saw it from the game. Way out of position.
So, yeah, that Barry was way out of position. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some people who are saying that Pete needs to know that that's you're sliding at three. Like, some people are texting in and saying that, and that's kind of how I felt initially.
No, but let him think four, or at least think rounding the base for a throw home. We love and celebrate those plays when the ball gets away on a play at the plate and
earlier this week when it had that weird ricochet and it was like, oh, Carson Kelly's out.
Oh yeah, because it went off the wall and came right back.
It's like, wow, look at that.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, you're out. He was out by a lot for a pass ball for a wild pitch.
Yeah.
He was out by quite a bit.
Once Pete rounds second, he's got no shot to know what's going on behind him, and you don't want him to. That's why he needs his guy. And that look on his face said a lot.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had a nice conversation about it. Also,
they got to win. That helps.
I am team Pete grow the hair out.
You are, huh?
Yeah, instead of like the shaved or like the star. No, I want him to grow the hair out. I want to see like the full mane.
Yeah, that looks good. I agree with you. I thought it was cool last night when they made the announcement in the clubhouse and they showed the video of him and Tucker as All-Star starters. And there's
way better than the Tim Anderson one.
I thought the same thing, man. The same exact thing.
I was sitting there going, would you look at that? Uh-huh. A whole clubhouse of happy people.
Interesting.
The only person who didn't look necessarily happy was Tucker. Everyone else was like,
but even
yay!
He went up to council and they had a little hug, little bro hug. Yeah. I'm hugging you, but I'm hitting you. Okay, we're done. We're done.
You guys go enjoy going to Chicago, Cut. And I know, you know, I've asked to go and you guys always reject me. So can we go this time? The best steak in Chicago, Chicago Cut.
Yep, sounds good. I mean, you know, there's plenty of things to do here in Chicago, so our off days we try and, you know, get out and kind of see as much as we can and enjoy the city. So we don't have too many off days, so we try and enjoy it.
That's Kyle Tucker, like, genuinely rebuffing Bruce's invitation.
Well, but you should look at that as a positive for
Operation Blue King Tuck.
Yes, because it's him enjoying the city.
Bruce is on staff of Operation Blue King Tuck. He doesn't know it, but he's clearly on staff, as is Jed, as he's given out the agent's email address and phone number.
You should call him and tell him how hard we're working to try to keep his client in town. What's going to keep him is a...
You know, we'll be talking to Casey about that at some point.
That's right.
And the sooner the better.
You bet. Yeah, you guys should also be talking to Casey about that. Can I recommend renting 6 Sprinter vans?
Filling them up.
# Operation Woo King Tuck. Thank you very much.
When we come back, a milestone was hit yesterday. Has anyone else got a shot? We'll talk about that and the importance of it next here on The Score.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Will we see history tonight in Los Angeles? 2 outs in the 6th. The 1-2 from Kershaw. Called strike 3. Open up the velvet rope and let him in. Clayton Kershaw is now the 20th member of the 3,000 strikeout club, a list so exclusive, we may never see a moment like this again.
It's true. Clayton Kershaw, you look at the breadth of his career, it's pretty amazing. And then last night, he wasn't sharp. Dave Roberts kept him out there, and it ended up being a historic night for Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers and for the White Sox. Shout out to CHSN for letting it eat a little bit, even though that was against the White Sox last night. Spiegel and Holmes Show. I'm Holmes. He's Spiegel. What's up?
So it always makes me think when Kershaw hits any kind of milestone like this, it makes me think of the first time I was ever aware of him, first time Vin Scully was ever aware of them. This is March of 2008. Okay, and Kershaw's a kid coming in the 4th inning of a spring training game facing the Red Sox, and Sean Casey is at the plate, of all people, and Vin Scully is getting a look at this kid who throws fastball, and then unleashes a curveball, and listen to Vin's reaction.
Sean Casey's shoulders, let's say hi, buddy. Oh, what a curveball. Holy mackerel. He just broke off public enemy number one. Look at this thing. It's up there. It's right there. And Casey is history.
So that's the first time Vin Scully ever saw Clayton Kershaw's curveball.
You know what's funny? I remember having a conversation with Terry. This must have been 2007, 2008. And I remember him saying, Dodgers got this kid named Kershaw.
Uh-huh.
You watch.
Oh, yeah. Because we all love the young legends like that, that you're thinking, this might be the guy. This might be the guy. I remember
Terry being adamant about it.
Well, that's a baseball sage right there. He loved seeing the young guys.
He's
come
like,
up.
You watch this guy. This guy right here, he's going to be something.
That's awesome.
And here we are, 3,000 strikeouts.
Public enemy number one.
Well, Sean Casey had no idea who he was facing at the time, Lawrence, but some of his teammates did, and his manager in Boston.
Watch this. Tony's frozen pizza just thought it was going to hit me. No, seriously. I get in the box. I look over at Joe Torre. He's kind of smiling. Bam, 97 outside black. I look over at Joe and Larry Bo. They're like, they knew who this guy was. They're like, oh, they start giggling. I'm like, am I the only one not in on the joke? Next pitch, hammer right at my face, just buckle sandwich. And then another nasty hook. And I walked off. You saw me buckle there, and I said to Tito, I said, is that guy? That's number 96 from the backfield. Who is that guy? He goes, I don't know, but better you than me, bro. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I just never felt so used in my life like that. My last year in the big leagues, too. I had 12 years in the show. 300 career. It got maybe feel like I was six.
That is outstanding.
Buckle sandwich. I never heard that
That's
one.
That's pretty good. Casey's curveball. Good with the words. That's why he's the mayor, right? Everyone loved talking to him.
I'm a big fan of that, dude.
This list now has 20 pitchers on it. And we, strangely enough, we went through it last week on categories.
Yeah, the disgraced former host of categories brought it up.
But when you look at this list, like Nolan Ryan, 57.
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. You know what's let's see how we did.
Ooh, let's go.
Let's go. You know what's amazing about that list? Walter Johnson was first, right? Bob Gibson was second. There was nobody between Walter Johnson and Bob Gibson who got to 3,000 strikeouts. And now there's 20.
And so, and two of the guys that you would be like, well, wait, what about they're already in it? Verlander and Scherzer.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys that you're like, those are the ones you would expect. So is there, because DeGrom was on the pace, but he kept getting hurt.
Chris Sale's going to get there. I'm going to tell, Chris Sale, I think.
He'll sneak in there like Sabathia.
2,528 strikeouts right now for Chris Sale at 36 years old. And he's been hurt. But he's been hurt a bunch of times.
I'm with you. Yeah, but he's battled through. Like, he's had the bad arm injuries, and he's been battling through, and he's still out there doing it. That's his profile anyway.
He's still a lot of strikeouts to face.
He dominates when he goes. The delivery is going to mean that even when the stuff goes away, he's still going to have some deception there with him, and he wants to pitch. You know, if he wants to pitch and stick around. So I think he'll get there. How about Garrett Cole at 2,251 strikeouts?
I don't think so.
Darvish at 2007 is too old at 38.
How about we start really projecting now? How about Skeens?
Oh, I mean, that's Skeens at 500?
No, he's not even
400.
He's at 285.
How about Dylan Cease? Is Dylan Cease going to stay healthy enough to do it? He's at number 35 on the list with 1,137. Cease is the first guy in his 20s on the active list. Everybody else is in their 30s. So sees Freddie Peralta, Jack Flaherty in their 20s. How about Jesse Chavez? He's 41 years old. He's got 1,039 strikeouts.
He'll keep pitching. He will keep pitching. So the Atlanta Braves will keep signing him, and maybe he'll just get there.
Yeah, I mean, there's only seven active pitchers with 2,000 or more. Darvish.
Man, Greinke was so close.
Yeah. And some of the guys on this list are climbing, but like Aaron Nola doesn't strike out dudes anymore. He's only 32, and he's at 1,831.
Should Greinke come back? He only needs 11.
But no, because you gave him out.
No, 21.
You gave him out as a guy getting deferred money the other day.
Yeah.
On Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Greinke's.
Yeah, but he only needs 21 strikeouts. Hmm. Come be in someone's bullpen. He's still smart. He can still get people out.
Yeah.
He's only 41.
I mean, yeah, it's. It's an incredibly impressive list, but I don't think it's the last one. My money's on Sale. He's close.
That would be awesome.
It was cool.
I hate you, Texter. 317 Texter. Can Noah Syndergaard get there with the White Sox? No. Oh, that's a good call, though, 708. Crochet.
Oh, you're projecting out Garrett Crochet now? Yeah, I mean, how about Kyle Hendricks at 1,300 Ks? He's 35 years old.
I don't think he's going to get there.
How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, Crochet's got 438 strikeouts.
I didn't say it's tough to project another 2,600.
Yeah, too many bullpen years early, then the Tommy John. Like that's you got to be starting, I think, very early in your career to achieve 3,000, I think.
Still only 26. And he's got 144 of them this year.
Yeah, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Rodon's on the active list.
First of all,
too. What? How dare I know who?
How dare you say he's one of the best pitchers in baseball?
Sorry about that.
We all knew that. We all knew it. Seems like the type of guy that you'd want to build around.
Oh man,
honestly. 26-year-old lefty that's out here striking people out.
Hey,
maybe give him an extension.
How dare you, sir?
You got three guys on the big league club. Is Rickelman Gonzalez still here? I think he is. You got three pieces of that trade on the big league club, and then Braden Montgomery's in the futures game. Come on now.
No.
It's a good trade.
Yeah.
I like Kyle Teal.
Yeah. I like him too. I also like a number one starter that was only 25 when you traded him.
I don't like Chase Mydroth's mustache. I don't think that's a good-looking mustache.
I enjoyed that little check swing thing that he did yesterday.
He's good with the body. Yeah. The slide the other day, there was another slide last night. They didn't call him out, right, when they went to replay and he slid into second and kind of leaned back as he did it. He's got good body control.
Shout out to Fat Joe. He's always leaning back. All right. Well, we'll have to find someone, but I think we come up with a good list for the list. We need to take a break, Speaks. Why? Because everyone is leaving town. Everyone is staying at a hotel or an Airbnb. Do I have something for you? If you're staying in town and you wanted to get an Airbnb, now how much would you pay? Next on The Score.